Daniel chapter 5, the handwriting on the wall. It's a real simple little outline. We'll see how far we get into it this morning, perhaps all the way through, but we start out looking at verses 1 through 4, Belshazzar's feast. Happens to be that Pastor Longstein read that, Belshazzar's fear through verse 9, and Belshazzar's future and Belshazzar's fate. Now, you'll remember years previously, and we are years previously, when Daniel was a teenager, he was taken captive along with some of the other royal line from Jerusalem, taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, and he was trained to serve the kings, and he did that. And then you'll remember that we were looking at the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their pagan names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, their Christian or their biblical names. And Daniel was about 50 at that time. Now we're coming to the point here where we see that Daniel is probably in his 70s as we come to this point. A lot of time has passed. Nebuchadnezzar died after reigning for 44 years in Babylon, and Babylon only lasted under Nebuchadnezzar. The Babylonian kingdom only lasted 66 years. And the Bible records that Belshazzar is the last before Babylon fell, the last ruler before Babylon fell. Now, what is so interesting about this is that the skeptics for a lot of times said, the Bible isn't reliable, the Bible isn't trustworthy. Everybody knows from the ancient historical records that Nabonidus was the last ruler of Babylon. And the scholars made fun of the error, quote, that was in the Bible. Now, that was until 1853 when they were doing archaeological excavations in a Babylonian pagan temple, and they ran across a cornerstone that said, "May I, Nabonidus, king of Babylon, not sin against thee, and may reverence for thee dwell in the heart of Belshazzar, my firstborn favorite son." And then we have an exact facsimile tablet that'll be on display there at the VCY Expo. It's the same tablet that's on display at the British Library in England. In 1854, they found the cylinder of Nabonidus, and it also named Belshazzar as Nabonidus' son. So the problem of Belshazzar is solved, except seems that there's another problem that came up. If you look at the scriptures here, at first glance, you would think that Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's son, because that's what we read there. I'm so thankful for the underlying preserved text that we have in the Bible. It's a perfectly good translation in the King James, but in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 2, Nebuchadnezzar is called his father, and yet the inscription says that Nabonidus is Belshazzar's father. But really, that's easily cleared up when you look at the underlying word translated father. It means ancestor, predecessor. And so what we have here is that Belshazzar is Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. He's Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. It's important to understand that, because Nebuchadnezzar was not immediately succeeded by Belshazzar at all. He had a first son. He was called Evil Marduk, and he reigned for a few years, and then was assassinated by his brother-in-law. And Nergalsar is the one who assassinated, and he ruled for 4 years. Then he was killed while there was a battle. The next two rulers occupied the throne briefly. One of those was Nabonidus. And then his son was the co-ruler, Belshazzar, who was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar was the co-regent with his father ruling particularly the city of Babylon. And that explains in verses 7 and 29, because Daniel is given the job of being the third ruler. The third ruler. Why not the second ruler? Because Nabonidus the dad was the first one, Belshazzar was the second one, Daniel was the third one. Well, anyway, I like the archaeological thing, and sometimes there was skeptical saying, there wasn't anything in the area that could hold 1,000 people for a banquet. And then the archaeologists spade again, found several great halls that could entertain easily 1,000 guests. And what is interesting, in this excavated hall, there was a chalk-like substance on the walls. Very interesting. So if something wrote on the walls, guess what? You could see it very clearly. Well, let's look at the time in verses 1 through 4. As we have seen here, Belshazzar the king made a great feast of 1,000 of his lords, and they drank wine before the 1,000, and Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, he commanded to bring out the golden silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines could drink therein. And then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, and which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. It's about 539 B.C. That's before Christ. Here's the interesting part. The Mede and Persian army had surrounded already the city of Babylon. They completely surrounded it. But King Nebuchadnezzar's father had been already taken captive. He had been captive for 4 months. You say, well, why is Belshazzar partying? Number one, he's stupid. But he's 35 years old. And on the 12th of the month, Belshazzar calls a great banquet and invites 1,000 guests to join him there. Now, what was the reason? Well, there's three reasons. Number one, he wanted to honor the pagan gods. Verse 4, and he drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and iron and wood and stone. Belshazzar wanted the blessing of the pagan gods to protect him because he is surrounded by the Medes and the Persians' army. And so he's asking their assistance. He has a huge, massive banquet to entreat their help in that. But there's a second reason as well. I just believe that he wanted to thumb his nose. Belshazzar wanted to thumb his nose at the Mede and the Persian army. You know, a lot of people just don't use their head. And he was one who didn't use his head at all. You'll remember that Babylon was probably the best protected city in the ancient world. You say, how so? I want to tell you here now, it is amazing. Remember, three chariots could go on the wall, but the walls were 350 feet high all around the city, and they were 80 feet thick. He thought, you know, just like who built the Titanic, you know, not even God could sink this ship. You know, he's just thinking, oh man, they can't touch us. Here's the deal. When God says, you're under my judgment, God's going to win regardless of whatever you might think you have for protection. Because what is happening is that the Mede and the Persian army, they are digging a huge canal. And they're digging this huge canal, and the river Tigris goes right through, or was it the river Euphrates? Anyway, it goes right through the city. I think it's Euphrates. Goes right through the city diagonally. And so the way that they got into the city is they finally got this big ditch dug, and they diverted all the water from the Euphrates River that went through the city. And you know what they did? They marched right into the city in the Euphrates riverbed. They went right in and they got Belshazzar. They took him captive. We'll tell you about his end in just a minute, but they went to the banquet hall, and it was over for Belshazzar. Now, there's a third reason. Belshazzar intended to show his defiance for God. I want you to know that it was clearly understood and known by Belshazzar that his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar honored and trusted and praised the Lord God of heaven before he had died. You remember, he had been insane for 7 years. And he had all the pride washed out of him, and he honored and glorified the Lord God of heaven and sent out a decree that everybody else do the same. I believe that we'll see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. But Belshazzar, this young fella, he's not impressed. And so what he does is that he defiles the temple vessels that were in the temple in Jerusalem by having his princes and his wives and his concubine. They're all drinking out of it. They're all, you can see very clearly in 2 through 4, they're mocking God as they're drinking out of that. And I want to tell you something. Paul makes it clear in Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not what? Mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap destruction. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Nebuchadnezzar had sowed to the Spirit at the end of his life. He had trusted God at the end of his life. But Belshazzar, the grandson, Grandpa's just a crazy old man. You know, he was nuts for, Grandpa was nuts for 7 years. And so he was mocking God. But I want to tell you, something happened that brought fear into the life of Belshazzar. If you look down at Daniel 5:5, it says, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the walls of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Apparently, the guests didn't immediately see the mysterious hand appeared. And the king was looking over the heads to the opposite wall. And all of a sudden, there is, it says, this man's hand. Just it doesn't say a man. It says the man's hand. So here, as the excavators found, you've got this soft plaster on the walls, and there's a hand writing, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." They're not understanding what is being written in Aramaic there. They're not understanding it. They're not getting it. It's not written in the standard writing of then. And he sees that, and he looks over that, and I want to tell you, the king's face changes. His countenance changes. I can't say it any better. I'm just going to read verse 6 to you. Then the king's countenance, his face, was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. We'll talk about the word troubled in just a second. And the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. Well, I can't do it real good, but he is... I mean, here this confident king We've got 350-feet walls. Three chariots can drive on the top of them. They're 80 feet thick. We ain't got anything to worry about, people. The words are just getting out of his mouth. And he needs to go to change his depends. The word troubled there is the same word that we saw in Daniel 4 and verse 5 and 19. It means terrified to the point of panic. Here's this king. He's trying to get himself all pumped up. He's just drank in honor. You know, he's giving a toast to the gods of gold, to the gods of silver, to the gods of wood, to the gods of brass. You can tell how much help they're going to be because God appears on the scene. And God leaves him a message. And the idiomatic expression we use today comes right from the Bible. The handwriting was on the wall. And it was there. And boy, oh boy. In verse 7 through 9, and the king cried aloud. Look at this. The king screams. Got any little kids in here? No, looks like.
Bring in the astrologers! Bring in the psychics! Bring in the occultists! I gotta find out what's on the wall!
They bring him in, and his psychic friends don't have a clue. You know what? Because the demons have no clue what God is doing. And the king freaks out. The experts could not tell them. And it says in verse 9 that he goes into a mega panic. Verse 9, and then King Belshazzar, then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled. And his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. I mean, his countenance was surprised and alarmed at first, and his face changes again because he's got all these guys who called them all together. They were all in the thousand. They were drinking and all this kind of stuff, and his wives and his concubines and all of his friends are drinking. The handwriting on the wall, and he brings them all over there, and they're looking at that, and they're saying, "I don't know what it is, King. I can't even read the writing.
What do we pay you for?"
You can have your own friends. You can have your own plans, friends. You can have your own plans, and you can orchestrate everything. I'm thinking of James, you know, the farmer. He was doing great. He had to tear down his small barns, build bigger barns, and the Lord said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." You know what? We need to be very cautious that we walk in God's will. We need to learn from this. You can be happy-go-lucky, going along merrily, living your life like you want to, leaving God out. And if you're a believer, God is not happy with that. And God may decide that it's time you listen. Don't make the Lord write on the wall, friends. Listen to him well before that. Well, they call in the queen. Verse 10 through 12. Let's look at verse 10 through 12. And now it says the queen, the queen, by reason of the words of the king and the lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers." Obviously, Belshazzar had retired Daniel. But here's what I want you to note. Belshazzar's wives and concubines were already at the feast. Who's the queen? I'll tell you who the queen is. The queen is Belshazzar's grandmother. The queen is Nebuchadnezzar's wife. That's who I believe it is, very clearly there. The wife of Nebuchadnezzar who had died, and she was alive through all of that stuff with Nebuchadnezzar. And she says, you need to talk to Daniel. He was the chief of the magicians while your grandfather was ruling. He knows it all. He'll be able to tell you. And obviously, his wives and his concubines were already at the feast, so the queen is not one of them. I think that's interesting. So, the king who, I think, we'll see, but this is my opinion, that Belshazzar retired Daniel and put in his own guy. Okay? And the king affirms that Daniel was the one the queen spoke of. The reason I know that is if we get down in verse 13, and Daniel was brought before the king, and the king spoke and said, Daniel, art thou the Daniel which art of the children of the captive of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? He knew it. He just said, are you the Daniel that was, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel? He knew it. He knew the account of what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar too, but he chose not to learn from history. Those who don't learn from history, you ever heard this? Are often bound to repeat it. God had given Nebuchadnezzar a second chance. Belshazzar, this young whippersnapper, he was brazen. He knew the truth. He knew it because he rehearses it right here. He knew it and he ignored it. Christians, that puts us in great danger if we know the truth of God's word and we ignore it. The scripture clearly says, and when I start saying it, if you can repeat it with me, to whom much is given, much is required. Let's try it again. To whom much is given, much is required. I believe you're here all by divine appointment. I don't believe that you're here by accident. I believe that God has ordained that you hear the message. And the message is clear that to whom much is given, much is required. And we see this illustrated right here in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. Some of you know that you're backslidden. Some of you know that you're not on the right path. It's to whom much is given, much is required. What is holding you back from getting right with God? Do you need a handwriting on the wall experience? I trust not. It didn't work out well for Belshazzar. Well, he tries to bribe Daniel. Let's just read along in verse 15. And it says, I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck. And here it is, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. That's verse 16. I'm sorry, I said 15, but it's 16. You know what? Daniel refuses the bribe. He's at least 70 years old, and he's... Keep your junk. Keep your junk. You know what's more valuable than gold or silver or clothes? That's being right with God. It's being right with God. Daniel refuses the bribe. He wasn't going to be intimidated by Belshazzar. He wasn't going to be bought by Belshazzar. And here's what he says in verse 17. He just says him. He just tells him, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation." Daniel was about to lay down the line for the king. Yeah, 18 through 23. In 18 through 21, Daniel rehearses the history of how God dealt with his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. He tells him the story again. He goes and tells him, "I was there. This is what God did. This is what your grandfather did." And he makes personal application. Look at now and follow along with me in verses 22 and 23. "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar," now watch this, "hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this." You aren't ignorant of this. "But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven." Isn't this just ignored it? He had to deface the Lord by bringing in those vessels that belong to the Lord and defiling those vessels. Now, I'm just going to stop there for a minute. Do you know where the temple of God is today? If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the temple, and this is the holy vessel. And whosoever defiles that temple and that vessel, the Bible says, him God will destroy. "What know ye not? Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify the Lord in your body and your spirit." Your body is it. I know I'm making an application, but I'm telling you something. If God considered those vessels of gold and silver holy, what do you think he considers this, where he paid with his son's blood to buy this vessel? What do you think he thinks about that? Do you think he wants you to put drugs in it? Do you think that he wants you to put porno in your head? Do you think that he wants you to put alcohol in it? Do you think that he wants to commit fornication with it? What do you think? I think not. Verse 23, back to Daniel 5. "But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold and of brass and iron, of wood and of stone." Now watch this. Here's what their value is. "Which see not, nor hear, nor know." They're dumb! Don't make the same mistake thinking God's dumb, and that God doesn't see, and that God doesn't hear, and that God doesn't know. Because look at the next thing he says. "And the God Now watch this. In whose hand thy breath is. And whose are all thy ways thou hast not glorified. The God in whose hand thy what? Breath is. Do you know what happens when the breath is taken away? Three minutes, you're brain dead. 10 minutes, you're dead. Did Daniel bring up Belshazzar short? He did. You knew and you paid no attention. You knew and you paid no attention. Do you know? Are you paying attention? You can only answer that. 24 through 29, we see that writing is interpreted. After the rebuke, Daniel reads the handwriting. Some people are confused at the difference of the word Upharsin and Peres. 25 and 28, the U is a prefix simply meaning and Persian is a plural form of Peres. Meni means numbered, you're numbered. He's saying to Belshazzar, your days are numbered. Tikal means weighed. You're weighed in the balance and found wanting. I went to the doctor this week for my 3 times a year diabetic checkup, and they always, the first stupid stop. I try to walk by it every time. I start going like this. She says, oh, no. Stand on the scale for me. I was weighed and I've lost quite a bit of weight. For once. And then Peres. Divided. Daniel 5:26-28. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. It's all done. Don't care about the 350-foot high walls. Don't care about the 80-foot thick walls. It's done. Tikal, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided. How divided? Is given to the Medes and the Persians. Darius, the general, the Mede, and then the ruler, Cyrus, the Persian. On October 12th, 539 B.C., the Mede general, Darius, under Cyrus, leader of Persia, completed digging the canal they used to divert the Euphrates River away from the city. His army marched on the dry riverbed under the wall, right up to the banquet hall where Belshazzar was, and they killed Belshazzar and took the rest captive. What can we learn? We can learn, number one, that God's word is sure and all the best laid plans of mice and men are as nothing when it comes to what God wants to do. Certainly, God is very gracious with us. God has a long fuse, but as I've told you in previous messages, there will be a day when God says, enough is enough. I'm done giving you chances. My mercy has run out. If you're backslidden, don't live in a fool's paradise like Belshazzar did. Realize that, as Proverbs says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. That's exactly what happened with Belshazzar. He is ultimately in control. Our breath is in his hands. God hates pride and will judge it. And God works through people who are committed to him. I hope that we'll all choose to be Daniel. Daniel, live for God. We still got a couple things to look at. The lion's den coming up. Daniel lived for God, a consistent Christian life from the time that he was a teenager, when we first read about him. He must have lived a consistent Old Testament life previous to that. But from the time that he is 16, 17, 18 years old, and now he's 70, and soon he's going to be 80 by the time that they put him down in the lion's den through trickery. They get Darius to make a decree. But be a Daniel. I don't know how much I see young ones. Abigail, I see young ones. And I won't point out the old ones, Jim. Okay. But wherever you're at on that spectrum, be a Daniel. He had a testimony. You know, when people got their back against the wall, who did they call? Daniel. Daniel. If you got stuff in your life as a believer that you know you need to get rid of, make the decision to get rid of it now. Get right with God now. Don't wait for the handwriting on the wall. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, not a single solitary one of us knows that we even have the next breath coming. Know a guy? Went home from the church service, sat in his chair, wife called him for dinner, but he was in heaven. You don't know that you're going to have the next breath. I'm thankful I knew that man and I knew his testimony, and so he woke up in heaven. But the frightening story is, the frightening truth is if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you take your last breath, you'll wake up in hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But you see, it's a divine appointment. You're here today. What are you going to do about it?
Nothing. I don't believe in hell.
You know what? Last thing. And you've all heard it before. But if I die, And all that I've read in the Bible turns up not being true, and I'm just dead like a dog. I lose nothing. I've had a wonderful life with my wife that the Lord's given me. I've traveled the world. I've preached in little churches and big churches, small rallies and big rallies. Been able to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's been so good to me. I've lost nothing. I've got children who love the Lord and grandchildren who love the Lord. I've lost nothing. But if you think when you die you're dead like a dog and that you didn't need Jesus Christ as your Savior and there was no hell, if you die and I'm right, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth for all of eternity. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away."